and you would take your child, and you have the Build-A-Bear experience, and then you'd pay literally the age of that child. It sounded like a great deal. To be honest with you, a week before when they started advertising that, I thought, wow, what a great deal. We should go. I didn't go. Because you know what happened if you watch the news. The stores eventually had to close due to safety concerns caused by overcrowding. And I can't imagine the videos. I mean, you'd see the people stretched out all around the malls. The lines were so big, it was outrageous. You would think that they were selling the new iPhone, but this is just Build-A-Bear. But imagine waiting all that time, taking your children, standing in line for hours and hours and hours, and then finally told, I'm sorry, we have to close. Imagine those feelings. Probably outrage. That would probably be a good feeling right then and there. One complained, I traveled three cities over to the closest Build-A-Bear when they sold out at 10 a.m. And then she said, horrible customer service. Well, someone kind of trolled her next because they said, how could you judge their customer service when you didn't even make it to the store? That's a good comment. They were trying to troll them anyway, but that's true. You can't judge a customer service if you weren't there, but also they also need to understand that no one forced that person to go. No one forced that person to travel that far just to get that experience. And then lastly, Build-A-Bear didn't really even have to host that event. So these comments are really not just, but the feeling is there, outraged. She probably made those comments, if I were to guess, because she felt robbed. Have you ever felt robbed? It's the worst feeling. Have you ever been overcharged for something? Had somebody ever stolen anything from you? Maybe perhaps your favorite team was robbed by a dubious call. You go to Little League Park and you'll hear a lot of people who are expressing their concerns of feeling robbed. Trust me. It's a terrible feeling. But this is what it is. Being robbed is when someone or something is deprived of something needed, deserved, or significant. Our sermon will derive from the third chapter of this book of Malachi. And in this chapter, God asks the question, will a man rob God? Verse 8. And so we will go through this a few verses in this chapter and we'll observe a couple of things. First of all, we'll observe the charge. Verse 7 gives kind of a background to this. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now, the work of Haggai and Zechariah has been completely forgotten. As a matter of fact, it's been around 100 years since the temple had been rebuilt. After the completion, what did the people do? They fell right back into sinful practices. Some things never change, right? When there's a need, generally speaking, we will actually do the work and make things right, and then when everything's all settled, we get content, we get too comfortable, we forget some things, we start to slack off. That's what these people are doing here. There's two key phrases throughout this entire book. The first phrase is, saith the Lord. This is what I say, and then he'll turn around and tell them, but you say. And we're going to notice that as we go here. But some things never change. Everything settled. They didn't go back to idolatry, but they had grown careless, negligent. They've grown selfish and filled with a spirit of some kind of worldliness. Well, they didn't have a king. Also, they didn't have a faithful priest or prophet. It's as if they've become sheep without a shepherd, if you will. But God's blessings have always been conditional. They had departed from God's way, so he's going to command them to return. If you read the rest of that verse there, he said, return unto me, and what? I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But here's that phrase. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Well, where should they return? They should return back to the Lord by returning to the good old paths, which are his. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah preached on this certain thing before, and they had the same attitude. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What did they say? We will not. They're too caught up in their own thing. They're not looking for the old paths. They're not looking for the old ways, the ways that lead to good. And if you look at the next verse, you'll see that God answers their question with a question. Will a man rob God? And obviously it was hypothetical because he answers in the affirmative immediately, yet you have robbed me. Again, they deny the charge. Remember that phrase I said, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers the question, in tithes and offerings. When have we robbed you, God? It's as if they did not want to take responsibility for a charge or even confess anything that is wrong. They're demanding God, prove it. You said we robbed you, prove it. In tithes and offerings. You know, God is not going to make any kind of accusation if there was no reason for the charge. As a matter of fact, his love right here, when he tells them that you've robbed me, and he tells them how, it shows his love. It shows them how much he cares. Friends, if we're guilty of sin, we need that manifestation. Why? So that we can be reconciled back to him. That's love. People confuse that with hate. But he says in tithes and offerings, they had robbed or shortchanged God by failing to give as they were commanded. In Leviticus 27:30-33, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? Is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. God freely gives to you, and he gives to me. Incidentally, he cannot give anything, any that he does not own. So it does belong to him. And if we don't give back that which we lay in store, we're showing complete ingratitude. We're only stewards for what he's given us. And so when we give back, we're giving him appreciation. If we don't give back, we're unappreciative. We don't give him any glory. And we have what we have, friends. We have to remember, it's only because of him. Everything that we own is only because of God. He's the giver of good and perfect gifts. And surely what the Lord giveth, what? He taketh away, right? Absolutely. And so the next verse, there's a consequence. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole nation's charged with this sin. God has a right to the portion that required them to give to his cause. And we have to understand that giving is beneficial. There's a reason for that. It develops the kind of hearts that are permitted into heaven, first and foremost. It opens the way for God to bring us even greater blessings. By robbing God, we rob ourselves. When they refused to obey in this matter, they brought upon themselves, verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. And that's evident because between this book, between this letter right here and Matthew, you know how long that was? 400 years. 400 years of complete silence from God. You're cursed. So they're suffering some tremendous hardships on earth, and they're going to, but friends, really, that's nothing in comparison to the horrors that await them in Gehenna. So there's the charge. They're guilty. You have robbed me. You've not appreciated what I've given you. You've given me no glory whatsoever. And it's all evident based on the actions that you perform. And so now, verse 10, there's a challenge. It's time to be put to the test, but it's interesting on what he says here. Go ahead. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Very interesting here. The Lord is going to offer them an opportunity to put him to the test. Right here. Read with me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and they're going to see God bless them so abundantly. He's going to open the windows of heaven. There will be so much blessings, they will not even have enough room for it all. How foolish would it be to turn down such an offer from God? And yet, sadly, they were so adamant to claim that they were not even guilty of anything. True or false, does God make a similar request of you and me? We are to give as we have been prospered. There are no minimum amounts or no minimum requirements for which to give. He leaves that up to you and he leaves that up to me. But that amount, interesting, is determined by the degree of love, by the degree of faith and trust we have in the Lord. Friends, this is our test. Are we going to allow him to open up the heavens to bless us? Do you trust in that promise? Paul said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because I've got to do this. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Friends, if we don't allow him to bless us, we won't have the means to continue to give. When we give, he is able, he is capable to bring more down, not for the purpose to make us more rich, so that we can give even more. Very interesting here. But also, he says this, added to this challenge, verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. The devourer here is in reference to the enemies of their crops. Well, such as locusts, perhaps the weather, The east wind and mildew. There have been other times where the Lord has smitten them with the blasting and mildew. When their gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees, your olive trees, they increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet ye have not returned to me, saith the Lord. He did that for a purpose. To waken them up. So that they would return unto Him, but they didn't do that. Also, Haggai said this, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me. Are you not going to wake up? But if you do this, I challenge you and I want you to prove me. Rob me no more. I will bless you. There will be no room for it. I will take away everything that will hinder what your crops are going to produce. Obedience to the Lord has many benefits, doesn't it? Well, sure it does. What we gain is far more than what we lose. Jesus kind of touched on this here in Matthew 10, 29, 30. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, listen to all the sacrifices, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. I can speak firsthand. I've lost friends. I've lost family. But I'm going to receive a hundredfold, and I can already see that now as I look out to the audience. Y'all been a more blessing to me than any of friends I've ever had in my entire life. And that includes my own flesh and blood. Obeying the Lord has many benefits. And are we going to let those benefits, those blessings shower down upon us by giving Him exactly what He wants us to give, and that's from the heart. But also look at this in verse 12. There's another blessing. All nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You do this, all these nations that are surrounding you, they're going to see these marvelous blessings which Israel will receive. They would recognize that, in fact, God was with them. And this is what God wants. He wants to bless you and He wants to bless me. He wants others out there, outside the body, see the blessings that we have, which includes opportunities to serve Him. People are going to ask. They're going to see. They are a blessed people. And that's what He wants. It draws people to us. And so by the virtue of our obedience, which would result in being wonderfully blessed, others will be drawn in to see what's going on. It certainly applies, doesn't it? We're offered the promise of having all we need if we follow the way of God. And what did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His ways or His commandments. Or His righteousness. You do all these things, the rest will take care of itself. That's comfort. That's reassurance. That's a good reminder that we should all have. And so will a man rob God? Friends, he does every day. He does every day, generally speaking. But the robbery does not only deal with money or monetary means. Actually, if you read this book, which is only four chapters long, it doesn't take long to read it, you're going to notice how God is robbed of honor, He's robbed of praise, He's robbed of credit, He's robbed of heartfelt, sincere worship, all these things, and it's only because they did not love him as much as God loved them. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, that they work wickedness or set up. Yea, that they tempt God or even delivered. These people here are living wicked, and you know what? They're prospering. They don't understand the nature of God. And so, on that day, last Thursday, in a way, it was very humorous to me. I'm like, look at all these people standing in line. For what? Stand in line for hours and hours for what? Some people made a joke on Facebook. I would pay my weight not to wait in that line. I wouldn't. That'd be very expensive for me. But sadly, and I can't point out anybody or accuse anything, but I can generally speak that those same people who stood in lines for hours and hours for a stuffed bear, most can do that, but will not spend time in his assembly. I can stand in line, children running around, getting tired and hot and uncomfortable and just driving you crazy, but I can't take them to church. I have time to stand in line for that, but I don't have time to get to know him through personal study of his word. I have time to stand in line hours and hours for a stuffed bear, but I can't take 2 minutes to express gratitude in prayer for everything that I have or make requests to heal the sick or even more blessings. We can pray for more blessings, by the way. It's not tacky to do that. He wants you to do that. You see, when we rob God, we rob ourselves. And those who rob themselves will not even realize it until it's everlasting too late. They'll scream and shout, I feel robbed because I didn't know. I feel robbed because I didn't have time to get things right. That's not true. You robbed yourself of the time that God gave you. He's given us right now just enough time. So friends, let me just lovingly say this. Do not rob yourself of time being a Christian any longer. That would be foolish. So God says, I feel robbed. And we have no right or excuse to say that we feel robbed. He's given all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us a way to salvation through His Word, which we develop our faith, a faith that pleases Him, a faith that will drive us or lead us to what He wants us to do according to His righteousness. Repent of our sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, be immersed in the water to come in contact with His blood that will take away the guilt of our sin. Don't rob yourself of that. And don't rob yourself to be reconciled unto Him. If there is a fault, confess that fault. Make it right tonight. Won't you come? Come forward as we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll say. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you live in eternity?